Pictures of old Havana don't do it justice. Spectacular but crumbling architecture. Colonial, Moorish, and Art Deco facades with laundry hanging from most every window. Ancient American cars, many tricked out with pastel paint jobs and running on Russian and Korean engine parts. Intoxicating rhythms of Afro-Cuban music performed everywhere from high-end restaurants to street fairs. But after nearly six decades of decay under the Castro regime, there are also signs of rejuvenation. A construction crane looming over the skyline. New plaster and roof tiles at the hotel where gangster Al Capone used to stay. Teens and 20-somethings sporting skinny leg jeans and those trendy short at the sides, long at the top haircuts. Hopes are high here that the thaw in U.S.-Cuban relations, sparked by President Obama and Cuban leader Raul Castro, will lead to an economic boon that keeps those young folks at home.
In the next future, if things will improve between both countries, our hope is that many of our youngsters won't think about emigrating.
This sentiment probably applies nationally in Cuba, but it was expressed here by Adela Duran, president of Havana's Temple Beth Shalom and spokeswoman for Cuba's Jewish community. In the 1950s heyday, Jews numbered more than 15,000 in Cuba. Many were like her, the offspring of Eastern Europeans fleeing the horrors of anti-Semitism and war. But the 1959 Communist Revolution quickly drove out prosperous Jewish business folks. The continuing grinding poverty encourages young people to exercise their option of moving to Israel. Cuba now claims fewer than 1,500 Jews in a total population of 11 million.
We had very, very difficult times. We lack of many, many things. We lack of food, we lack of medicines, and of course we lack of material to fix the houses and all this. I can tell you we lost two generations in these more than 50 years.
A measure of religious freedom granted by Fidel Castro in the early 90s allowed outside groups, led by the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, to spark a revival of Jewish life. They sent rabbis, kosher food, and pharmaceuticals, while financing holiday celebrations and camp programs. That's the chatter of students pouring out of Sunday school at the Patronato, a community center that includes Beth Shalom Synagogue. The educational program, headed by director Hella Eskenazi, teaches people of all ages from throughout Cuba about Judaism.
We have a student from 4 years old until, and also we have two groups of adults. So we have teenagers, we have youth people, we have different classrooms.
A recent Sunday morning featured a lecture on Cuban-Israeli relations, which are not good because Cuba favors Palestinians in Middle East conflicts. Doran said the school tries to give Cubans a strong sense of their Jewish identity.
Our youngsters know a lot about Judaism, and they are so proud to be Jewish. It's different than in other countries. The parents and the grandparents had to push their children and grandchildren to go to the synagogue. Here, our children and grandchildren are pushing their parents and grandparents to come to the synagogue.
Even so, the collapse of the Soviet Union and other socialist sources of aid to Cuba makes life here very difficult. Salaries in Cuba average less than $30 per month. Free school, free medical care, and food rations help, but not nearly enough, Doran says.
It's not a Jewish problem. It's a Cuban problem.
Doran has no personal quarrel with the Cuban government. In fact, she has hosted both Castro brothers at Hanukkah parties. She says she posed her invitation to Fidel Castro at a conference in 1998. Where she buttonholed him during a break. But he didn't know what Hanukkah was, and his aide was trying to shoo her away.
I'm not a rabbi. How can you explain the meaning of Hanukkah in two words? In those years, you remember, he liked revolutions and all this. So I told him Hanukkah is a revolution of the Jews. So he said, I will come.
Raul, who took over for his ailing brother in 2008, got his Hanukkah invitation several years ago.
He came, he lit the candles, and he put a yarmulke, and he was very, very touched when he saw our children, our youngsters, dancing with the Israeli flag and the Cuban flag.
So Castro asked, how many Jews live in Cuba?
I told him we are about 1,500 Jews in the country, and he said, you are only 1,500 Jews in Cuba. You make so much noise.
Dworen, who said she identifies herself equally as a Cuban and as a Jew, argues that the combination works well.
It helps us very much that Cuba and Israel don't have diplomatic relations, but that doesn't mean we suffer any kind of anti-Semitism. You can see that we don't have security people outside. I can tell you that this is one of the safest countries for Jews, even for Americans.
Foreign money has been flowing recently into Cuba's tourist trade, thanks in part to reforms backed by Raul that encourage Cubans to start their own businesses and protect investors from government seizure of their assets. Dworen said those reforms are likely the source of the patch-ups underway in Havana's Old Town. President Obama's move last December to repair diplomatic ties with Cuba has already made it much easier for Americans to visit the island. And Obama's proposal to lift the trade embargo could open the floodgates. But its prospects in Congress are uncertain. Joseph Weinberg, a Baltimore businessman who made a philanthropic visit to Cuba 5 years ago, strongly supports lifting the embargo. He said it has served Cuban leaders as a convenient excuse for failures of their economic system.
Eventually, I think that is going to lead to a change in the Cuban government and an opening up of the Cuban government more than this 50-year embargo, which has been unsuccessful. And it just creates the U.S. as a scapegoat for all of Cuba's problems.
In fact, history was made during recent municipal elections in Cuba when, for the first time in decades, two dissident candidates got on the ballot. At a polling place near the synagogue, where turnout was already 50% by noon, volunteer Roberto Hernandez showed off the process.
They come here, they check they are on the list, they receive the paper to vote right there, and then they come here too. And we have the two pioneers checking the people.
Pioneers.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And this one is my grandson. he cannot be quiet. All the time moving.
He was referring to two little boys sporting kerchiefs of the communist pioneers who get political training at a tender age in an organization that celebrates revolutionary hero Ernesto Che Guevara. Each time a paper ballot was dropped in the box, the boys thrust their fists into the air and shouted a salute. Not for a particular candidate, just for the vote. Let's see. Kids interested in voting and a 50% turnout by noon. Maybe Americans have something to learn as well. I'm Karen Hostler reporting from Havana for 88.1 WYPR.